A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at UH1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello everyone, welcome to the Red Men TV. I'm Steve Hoare, joined by John Machen and Sam Walker to preview the biggest league game of the season, maybe the biggest game full stop of the Premier League for a long, long time. Of course, Liverpool versus Manchester City Sunday, a rather odd kickoff time of 4:45. And yes, we all know the stakes. Sam, we've just been a little tiny conversation off air, we've done the mic tests and stuff. It's as big a Premier League game that you can remember for, you know, at the top of the table for so long. It's absolutely massive, this.
Yeah, and the last two title races we've been in where it's been fine margins, literally a point or whatever, we've always had to go to City, haven't we? And it's always been a defining game. All right, the 97-98 point was at the very beginning of the turn of the year, but it still, people look back at all the 11 millimetres and blah, 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 blah. And the year when we finished second on 92 points to the 93, we played them in, was it April, straight after international break or something like that? Good and talk. We drew 2-2. And I actually thought it was a good result at the time, but it was always in their, on their court, in their back garden. They felt in control. They were ahead of us in the league. And the script flipped, isn't it? Is that we're in control of the league. There's 11 games to go, including this weekend. We're a point above them and 2 points ahead of Arsenal. And we're playing at home, having played Arsenal twice. So it's a real big game because it's actually the shoes on the other foot for the first time I can think of since 2013-14.
Suppose as well, John, the difference on this title race, and we were saying it before, but like in years gone by, the home team, if City, basically, a draw has been a good result for Manchester City at home against Liverpool because it's kept Liverpool at bay and it's basically said it's us v you and we have to mess up more times than you guys. The fact that Arsenal are now in this at this moment in time, we have to treat them with respect. They're actually the form team, them and Manchester City in the country. That's a different dynamic, this one, isn't it? Like, who knows what if a draw is a bad, good result, whatever it is. But actually, there's a world where neither of these two sides top of the league come the end of the weekend because Arsenal, they're not the spanning in the works, but they're there as well.
You can certainly see them being top on goal difference at the end of the weekend. Yeah. But the beauty for us is that City and Arsenal have got to play each other down the line.
Next year.
Yeah. And so if we stay ahead of the game, even if we draw and we're a point ahead, in fact, there's some lovely irony in us being 1 point for the rest of the season ahead of them, isn't there? And that we go into that last game of the season and they get the rumours on the radio about us getting all that stuff. That would be all lovely, wouldn't it? That would be great. But, you know, that Arsenal game for them is a killer, isn't it? If they don't get a result this weekend, that's a must-win game, and it still doesn't necessarily get them to the top of the table. No. Yeah, so we really are in the driving seat.
Yeah, just to clarify where we are in the league table, of course, Liverpool sit top on 63 points from 27 games. Manchester City second, 62 points from 27. Arsenal third, 61 points, 27 games. It's a real three-horse race, this one, and I'm guessing any Arsenal fans will be sitting on Sunday afternoon just hoping for a draw, which is a different dynamic, like I said before, Sam, because I was speaking to the producer Joe before we went for lunch, and we were saying, like, would you take a draw? Is a draw a good result? The draw brings Arsenal back into it, and I wouldn't take a draw, because it's Anfield, but I don't think a draw is a bad result. If it ends up as a draw, you can kind of go, all right, you can square that, and you're in a title race with Arsenal, and you think, sad. Like, you'll take that, you know what I mean? Obviously, City hanging around as well, but yeah, it's an interesting one. Where do you stand on what's a good result? What are you looking for?
I think going into any game at Anfield against anybody from Real Madrid down to Luton or an FA Cup game against a lowly league team, you always go into it, win at Anfield, win your home games, win your big games. We haven't been beaten at Anfield since that weird Leeds goal last year. And before that, with crowds, you're talking like 5-6 seasons. So we don't lose games at Anfield. There's a belief there within the team. To add to the belief that we've got at the moment anyway, and what we saw on Thursday, which was a demolition job at half pace, really. So I can't for the life of me imagine a world where I wouldn't think we can beat Man City. Last year, when we played them, we drew... Oh, we won 1-0 with an awful team and they were flying. The year before that, we drew 2-2 and they scored a deflected goal and we missed a sitter. There was loads of things. You've come away from every game at Anfield apart from one I can think of where we've either won the game or thought we should have won the game. The only one I can ever think of is the 0-0, you know, where he blazed over the bar, the penalty.
They beat us in COVID, didn't they, with no
fans? But it's not a home game, that, is it? It's a pitch in Liverpool, but it's not a home. A home game means with fans and atmosphere. Let's just have that for it,
yeah.
So, and like I was saying to you briefly, like, we're not favourites to win this game, which I find odd. Not the title, you can give them favourites, whatever, but I do think this game, I think it's strange. I saw Gary Neville talking on a clip of the overlap, I haven't watched it yet, saying, I expect City to win. I think, what football have you been watching recently? Because
it's the myth around City now, isn't it? Yeah. Once they kick in at the end of the season and get on a run, everyone thinks they're invincible.
And they drew at Chelsea, did they?
But it's just this idea that people seem to forget that, you know, Liverpool have a really good record against City.
Especially at Anfield, yeah.
Let's talk City, and we'll talk about Liverpool and teams and stuff in a moment, Sam. Let's look at City. Injury-wise, Jack Grealish looks like he's not going to play, and then Doku's a doubt. So in terms of their fitness and their squad, that's the only real massive issue. I think the rest of the team half picks itself.
Didn't Nunes have a bad injury?
He broke his hand, but... he broke his finger, but he was... You reckon that could be fine.
He's not a big player.
Well, and his finger was facing the wrong way. It wasn't great, but... In terms of that left-hand side, because they've been loving using Phil Foden on the right, that left-hand side is the only real issue that they've got, and we'll see. The likelihood is Doku just is fine, and he plays. But other than that, we know they're such a strong team. We know 8 or 9 are the one who's going to play. He's got a couple of options maybe at full-back, but there's no real surprise here other than, like I say, that left-hand side, where if Doku and Grealish are out, maybe it's a silver, maybe he moves Phil Foden over, but not too many surprises this weekend.
He could put Alvarez in, couldn't he, and, you know, have the extra forward up there.
My guess is Bernardo Silva goes over there, maybe.
Well, he would play right
and
Bernardo
switch Foden
and I think that would be unfortunate for Foden because he has been brilliant off the right. But what I would say is, you know, Foden is an unbelievable player, one of English's top talents. But, you know, looking back at the game the other day, is, you know, United were effectively dealing with Man City until that Haaland chance. For 44 minutes or 45 minutes, they didn't create nothing. And they wasted a few chances themselves. The one thing I would say about City is they're a very exciting team, and they move the ball so fluidly. They're so brilliant. Haaland's a killer in front of goal. Can't knock them for what they are. What I would say about them this season is, and it's the same again on Wednesday against Copenhagen, they conceded lots of goals this year, and I think that's a worry for them because we've got the best. I know Arsenal have had a flurry recently, but if you look at the depth of the season, we've had the best attack in the league consistently. They've sort of just blasted 25 goals in 6 games and gone above us, but if you look over the course of the season, the attack,
Arsenal have gained a lot of confidence from beating us.
Yeah, and then beating all these weaker teams.
They've gone prolific ever since. But I mean, I actually have not thought City had played so well this season. When I watched them, I thought they were much slower and more ponderous than in the past. Mm-hmm. Arsenal play the ball much faster than City do these days. You know, I just think City are more vulnerable than they've ever been coming to Anfield.
That was my question, Sam Wheels, is that for the first time in a long time, they're on a goal conceded the game, so they've conceded 27 in the league from 27 games. Last year they only conceded like 33, I think it was, in all of the games. I think there's one season when they only conceded 26 all season. So you are right. Listen, they're brilliant. No one's downplaying Manchester City, but I think it's fair to say we've seen even like teams are getting goals, teams are getting chances against Manchester City. And bear in mind how many shots and how many attempts at goal and how many goals Liverpool have been scoring in recent weeks. Even this season so far, we've scored more than them and we've conceded less. Like, that's rare. You know, it's very rare that's the case. It does feel like whatever happens at the other end, we'll talk about that. Yeah. It does feel like Liverpool are going to be getting chances and shots on target because everyone seems to have done so.
Brentford had loads of chances before they went behind.
Yeah, and it was a mistake, wasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, what you forget as well is that City do spend like 90% of their games on the attack. Mm. So the chances they're conceding in such small amounts of time is phenomenal.
Yeah, and I think as well, what's interesting is, like, if you look at Man City over this season and the goals they conceded, it's pass, pass, pass. It's a bit like Liverpool last year, except they've obviously done it much better over the course. But we used to just concede direct goals all the time last season, in between the lines. As quick as Kyle Walker is, once you go on the inside of him, he's in trouble. Outside of him, I think me and you talked about this, weren't we, in the cricket the other day? If you go on the outside of him, he's rapid. Inside, either side, the left fullback, they're in big trouble. And you look at our team, you think, the best player in the league's back again. You know, hopefully he was robbed of a goal the other day, hopefully he can get back on it. Darwin Núñez is in flying form, sure, we can discuss him in depth in a bit, but it'd be really odd for him to turn up at Anfield and say, yep, high line, you can fire it over the top against us. So will he do a Pep and change things? It might work for him, but will he do something where he goes, oh, we're going to be half the way up the pitch, don't give Núñez that space in behind, and so on?
This is the thing where I was going to go back to before, John, is that with doubts over Doku and doubt, and well, it looks like Grealish is going to be out. There is a world where he maybe asks Foden and Silva to play wide, and he maybe throws in a Kovacic. Mm. You know what I mean? Just tries to be a little bit more sure, because Sam's right. Where City have actually been hurt all his counter attacks, because they use the ball. It's usually Kevin De Bruyne and David Silva, who just don't give it away. But they've actually given the ball away a fair bit in the edge of the box, and teams have gone the other way.
Yeah.
There's a world, like Sam says, where he goes, you know what? Be a little for we're at Anfield away, maybe a Kovacic, who's had good games against Liverpool
and
before.
And you look at Liverpool now, and if you want to stop Liverpool now, if I wanted to, I'd try and figure out a way to stop McAllister playing.
Yeah.
You know, and Kovacic may well be someone who could do that, give that extra body, you know, along Rodri to make sure that area of the pitch is sewn up. I mean, that's always a possibility.
He's the key, isn't he, Sam Rodri? Yeah. Because, like, it's a 60-odd game, isn't that way? They don't lose when he plays. They've had three losses in the Premier League this season, and he was suspended all that. He was out for all of them. Mm. So he's a key player for them. Mm. I saw Chelsea try and do a bit of a job on him, where they had Conor Gallagher just legging it round him for 90 minutes and just disrupt him. Because people still talk about Rodri without the ball, it's actually Rodri with the ball, where he's the one who starts a lot of the attacks. It could be whoever plays in the eighth for Liverpool. That could be a real big... Again, it might be Alexis McAllister who just gets around him and just makes his life tough. Mm. Because if Rodri plays well, for the most part, Manchester City play well.
Yeah, that's it. He dictates the play, doesn't he? Because everything comes back through to him before the metronome's back off again. And, you know, defensively, you haven't actually seen as much of him defensively this year, to be honest, because, like you say, they control the ball so much, but also they have conceded a lot of goals, so he has been bypassed quite a lot, which gives me hope. But as I said, I think it's the confidence, I think it's his aura in the team. He can strike a ball from distance. He scored good goals, for really important goals. He won the European Cup for them last year and opened the scoring against Bayern Munich. He's a fantastic player. I think pound for pound, he's their most important player.
I was surprised today because Jamie Carragher said Phil Foden's been Man City's best player. And listen, I think Phil Foden...
Recency bias,
he's been great. I think Rodri might be... I know Declan Rice is getting a lot of love in midfield. I think Rice might be the one. Rodri might be the one.
Rodri doesn't catch the eye as much as Foden, that's the thing.
Yeah.
Or even De Bruyne. You know, Rodri's one of those old-fashioned kind of guys. He's the one sitting a bit deeper. He's the one committing the little fouls on the halfway line to stop breakaways. But he's also the one who's got an eye for where the ball should be going. You know,
he's a forward player. Right, who's basically had as many goal involvements as Núñez has, maybe one more in probably more games, because we've missed Núñez recently for a while. And so I think he's brilliant, but this is the problem with the punditry, is it's recency bias, isn't it? Is that everyone says, oh, he's the best defender in the league, he's the best player in the league, etc. But it's just the last 5-6 weeks. I mean, Saka is flying at the minute, but 5 weeks before they were saying that he was terrible for Arsenal and was having a terrible season. Now look at the stats. So I think you've got to look at the body of work, and I think Rodri is their guy. He always has. And Haaland's the guy in front of goal who's reliable. I think, you know, he's going to be important as well, because I do think with City, as much as it's important to bypass or get around Rodri, if you stop Haaland or stop the supply to Haaland, it does take out a huge, significant amount of goals that they score.
Suppose as well, John, the interesting one is, it depends on the game, because obviously Liverpool are home, you know, City away. Are they brave enough? And usually Pep is, I'll say this, he is, to say to John Stones, right, you go and invert, you get yourself further up the pitch. Are you willing to leave Ruben Diaz one-on-one with Núñez? Mm-hmm. Are you willing to leave Nathan Ake one-on-one against Mo Salah? this one, going back to the college, I think Pep's tactics are going to be so interesting here, because I actually think City need to win this probably more than Liverpool do.
I think they will come to win. Yeah. I think they need to.
And in which we saw, like, Liverpool have scored counter-attack goals on them. You know, last season is the perfect example. It was one kick up the pitch from the goalkeeper. I mean, Salah's
the team against Copenhagen the other night said to me, he's definitely wants his best team on the pitch. He wants to win this game.
That's the other thing, Sam, isn't it? Both teams coming into this one, with not the most taxing of midweeks, obviously. Yeah. We'll talk about Ibu Konate in a moment, of course. But for the most part, both teams, usually it's like you played a big European game and actually City were already, I mean, that game was dead after two minutes anyway. The tie was pretty much over after the first leg. But as soon as Akanji scores, that's that done. Liverpool 3-0 up at half time. You know, they were able to. Nunes goes off, McAllister goes off. If that was a Champions League game, you might not get that luxury. So both teams actually didn't have the most taxing of midweeks either, so they should be okay for Sunday, you think.
And that will play a part, not to look too far ahead, but that will play a part in April as well, is the difference in competitions. So now is important for City to beat us, to get back in control, so that they might, you know, they might be able to have one wobble in April while they've got Real Madrid over two legs, whereas for us, you know, the worst case scenario is we're playing at a Benfica or Leverkusen or something like that. So we don't need to, us winning this game on Sunday is as important as it was as fans and as the club. Like, us losing, we might get that back, or if we draw, we might get that back in the fact that we'll gain while they're fighting two for now with the best in Europe. So I think it made the point. I think, yeah, their game on Wednesday was always going to be a dead rubber, and the fact they scored in a few minutes anyway, which it did make me worry about our game, but then we did the same thing. Obviously, we'll see what happens with Konate, but
The only difference is we're messing around with a team that's been struggling for bodies over the last month or so. But they've just got a wealth of riches, haven't they? I mean, that second, I said to you before, Steve, the second team they put out was the first team in any other club in the country.
But it's interesting, though, John, because they have got a significantly smaller squad than us at the moment, because everyone's, all the money's gone on the top 17. But if it's true that Grealish, Doku, and let's say Nunes are unavailable, their bench will be pretty short. They'll have maybe
Oscar Bob comes into play.
Yeah, you're talking about maybe having Alvarez as a sub, possibly. That's it. No one else in their squad would be a threat coming off the bench, would they? Because if they've got no Grealish, definitely no Doku and no Nunes, they've got no one really to come in the midfield, and they've got no Mo and Bar Alvarez come up top.
They've got Nunes, haven't they? There,
but I'm saying,
well,
if let's say it's bad enough that he's had to have, you know, an operation.
Well,
or
I've seen him, but he's only got a put on his finger.
Okay,
you know, he's a real baby. You know?
Yeah, well, yeah.
But I mean, the difference is that you look at their bench and you see people they've spent an awful lot of money to bring into the club. You're not talking about kids coming out of their academy for the most part. You know, maybe Bob, I don't know where the hell he came from, but
Norway,
you know, he's one of their youngsters who's hovering around. But we had a whole bench of them for a month.
I know.
Let's look at some key matchups then. We'll talk about team news and predictions later. But in terms of key matchups, I was thinking before, I touched upon it before, Sam, but Darwin against Diaz. Yeah. Like, Ruben Diaz is class. Like, no one's going to argue Ruben Diaz is class. What he doesn't want is to be going that way. Yeah. That's Kyle Walker's job. It's whether you can get them isolated. We saw it, and it was a while ago now, but like last year's Charity Shield, when Darwin got one-on-one with Diaz, he did cause him problems. Diaz, again, brilliant, absolutely fantastic, what a player.
He's John Terry, isn't he?
Same as a little bit, Ake and Salah's the same. Really good battles where you want to try and isolate some of these guys. That's why I'm going back to Pep again, is that, is he willing to leave those guys one-on-one with Nunes and Salah? Because that'll be their battles that Liverpool would hope that he can get the better of. Like I said, two really good players, but Nunes and Salah as an attacking duo, they'll probably be the same with Haaland and whoever plays centre-back for us. But they're two real key areas for Liverpool there. If Nunes and Salah can win those one-on-ones, they've got a very good chance.
Oh, add Diaz into that mix, by the way, as well. You got three really quick players up
Diaz
against their back four.
Diaz on Walker.
And what's the chance that they're going to actually have four at the back at times? It's going to be 3-on-3 situations all game. I agree with John Diaz, cracking player, but he's very John Terry. He's not the quickest. And once that ball's in the air, he's done.
Guardiola might be fit to come in.
Yeah. Left, but
I'm just thinking
about the ruggedness rather than speed. You know?
I think they'd go ahead. I still think they'd go ahead.
Yeah, he's a better footballer, isn't he, in terms of on the ball and stuff like that. Yeah, I mean, I don't think it matters who plays in the back for them. What they will not want is to be exposed, because Nunes is quicker than anybody. Right? On the odd occasion, a quick winger on a corner might keep up with him when he's got the ball.
Johnny Carl Walker, who's got half a chance in it.
Yeah, and even then, Nunes is different. He's not the same as Salah, where he's lightning and he's quick off the mark. I think it's going to be really interesting. I think that battle, Nunes against any of their back line is a real, and he's flying in form at the moment.
And
he
will
be
the
so
other night,
confident.
He's unpredictable.
Oh yeah.
I mean, the first goal, I mean, why did he shoot?
It wasn't even on for the top bit, was it? But and that's it, and that's it's catching them out and stuff like that. And you know, having him and Mo Salah to deal with is, having Mo Salah on his own at times has been a nightmare, but now Nunes is in that category of how much you've got to watch him. It's a real problem for them now.
Do we all think Endo's going to play in a wheel of the team in a moment?
Absolutely.
So the other key battle there then, obviously, John, is Endo against De Bruyne. You think they're going to, you know, they've had Kevin De Bruyne wrapped in cotton wool for a long time. They've been really looking after him. They've tried to really reduce his minutes, but we've seen him over the last couple of months. He's when, you know, that Newcastle game when he first comes back, and he just takes over that game.
Yeah, and he's
got the ability to do that, because he's fantastic.
Haaland doesn't function very well without De Bruyne. Yeah. You know, because the whole focus of that team changed when Haaland came to getting the ball to him. So De Bruyne was absolutely key to that.
So Endo's going to have to be.
Absolutely.
And he's usually got the energy levels, hasn't he, Sam? Like, he'll. You'd hope that, listen, De Bruyne can beat anyone. He's fantastic, and you don't want to leave him isolated too much against anyone. But what Endo will be up for the fight, and I don't think Endo will tire. Like, I think Endo will just go for 90 minutes, and you're basically saying to Kevin De Bruyne,
have you got 90 in you?
He probably has, because he's, again, who knows, but they have been looking after him.
I mean, I have memories of De Bruyne sort of dragging some of our midfield players behind him as he was running through them in the past. He's not doing that to Endo.
But he's not doing that in general now. He's not getting that ball and driving forward. His hamstrings can't take it. He's very much letting the ball go quite early, isn't he?
It's Foden who's doing that.
Driving the ball. But that's it. And it's like, you know, that cutting and left foot shot the other day from Foden was unbelievable. But De Bruyne is capable of that as well. It's about managing it, but I think it's interesting with De Bruyne, because he came on against Newcastle when they were goosed and just absolutely showed his class. He's not going to have that luxury, I don't think, in this game. I think he's going to have to start because of their squad looking a little bit like it needs it. So where's he going to be at 75 in a high intensity game? He'll have probably had to weather a few storms with our crowd and our team as well. So it'll be interesting to see if he's got the 100 minutes in him, because that's what it's going to be. It's going to be a 100 minute game, isn't it?
Yeah, I can't see it.
Myself. I don't. I think they'll have to be ahead in the game going into the last 20.
Come on if he hasn't been on already.
There's been a lot of talk, obviously, Sam. Obviously, Trent had his comments, and then all the City players have responded. Trent says, you know, it means more to our fans. City players have all had jabs back about trebles and stuff. There's a bus welcoming by all accounts being arranged again down by the King Carrie pub and onwards. It does feel like Anfield is going to be absolutely rocking. I think this little bit of needle in the build-up has actually done Liverpool more favours than City. Yeah. City responding to Trent's stuff, feel like that might light it up a little bit as well. When Liverpool have done well against Manchester City at Anfield, I think back to that one, it finished 4-3, but they got a 4-1 when Salah scores from really far out. They've had the Champions League run that we went against, same thing. Even last year, in a pretty down season, Anfield was rocking when Liverpool beat Manchester City. Anfield, with fans, is the only thing that Pep Guardiola hasn't cracked yet.
Yeah,
he's done everything. He's been everywhere. He's beaten everyone. He's done everything.
Bigger crowd this time round.
It's the biggest crowd that there's ever been.
It'll be over 60k. Yeah. Every seat will be sat in this time.
That is something that we raise with our hand out. So, like I say, they're brilliant. They've won everything. The manager, he might be one of the best managers, if not the best manager of all time. Yeah. He's going to be in that conversation.
Yeah.
He already is. This is the one thing they haven't quite got their heads around yet. A booming Anfield, City haven't yet shown that they can go to a booming Anfield and win.
Absolutely, and we've got one of the best, most exciting teams we've had. You know, we've had some unbelievable Klopp teams, but this team especially, it feels like there's something new to it, something like, you know, we feel like we've got players who are in a different form than even when we played them in, was it October, November? Like, the Nunes we've got now is not the Nunes we had even in December. You know, it's different. Conor Bradley's a different player. Even Joe Gomez, you know, Canate. Everyone in the squad feels like they're McAllister, Endo, and in a different place than they were when we played at Man City. You know, even when we played at City, Alisson was probably our worst player on the pitch that day when he gave the ball away for the goal and then there was a few weird kicks. So, you know, I just think that, you know, the 45 minutes, I'm not sure what that's about, to be honest. It's not going to make any difference in terms of atmosphere or alcohol, whatever it may be. But quarter to four, Sunday, you know, lights will be getting dimmed later on into the game. 60,000 Liverpool fans. That stand was built for this kind of event and the European Games. That's what it was about. It's about having that ruckus atmosphere. It's going to be off the chart. And City are cold, but I'm not sure they're that cold that they'll be able to, when we're on top, might be winning, might be drawing, when we've got a corner, when there's a free kick, when we're waving forward and when the crowd is booing them, I think it's going to be a real test of their character to see if they can come through. And you know what, fair play if they do, but I'm hanging my hat on now is the combination of the fight for Klopp and his last stand, but also this is what Anfield is. This is Liverpool Football Club on Sunday.
I was going to say as well, John, the Klopp thing is in. This might be the last time these two. Obviously, there's the FA Cup where we'll see that there's a chance that you can meet each other in that, of course, if both get through their respective ties. But there's a very good chance this is the last time Klopp v Pep happens in the Premier League, at least, because Jürgen said he's not going to come back here. That adds that little, you know, that extra little bit into it as well, doesn't it? For everyone, you're going to be there, you guys are going to be there yourselves. You'll know going into the stadium, there's something on it.
So much that adds little stuff to it, you know. There's so many little things which make it a really, really incredible game. I mean, even the fact that probably Arsenal are top of the league as we go into the game, all sorts of little things like that make this such a big game, and the fans are just going to be wild, I think.
Yeah, HFN says City are cold. You've misunderstood what Sam meant. He meant City are cold as in killers, didn't you?
He didn't mean that
in about HFN says, what do you mean City are cold? He means like as in,
oh, as in, that, yeah,
you mean a positive, like
as in like they can go to a stadium and don't be affected by it, pass the ball around, quieting the crowd down. But we've seen it before, everyone has said it, Pep said it, and these players making these comments, if anything, it's insecure. That's what it is. It's insecure. Man United would never have said anything like that when we were winning, if we had the jab at them, because they were better than us and they were winning things the proper way. They're insecure because they know that everything they achieve has got an asterisk next to it, charges or not. So, and I think that plays into all this as well, because they cannot buy what they're going to go into on Sunday. No matter how much money they've got, they'll never ever have Anfield in the atmosphere.
No, and they'll also have all the memories of the time they came with Anfield rocking and getting absolutely battered.
Yeah.
You know, they'll have that there in their heads.
I tell you what, if Nunes gets a goal in the first half or in the first 20 minutes against them, he's the type of player that when he's in his own head and he's struggling, but when he's carefree, he is just going to be ridiculous at times throughout his Liverpool career. And he looks at the moment like, I reckon he played those extra 5 minutes because he said at half time on Thursday, please just let me, give me 5 minutes to get a hat trick. And obviously the goal came and it kind of killed that, but he probably think, just give me 5 minutes, Jürgen, one shot please.
Yeah.
So can you imagine if he gets a goal or gets a big chance early in that game or creates an assist, he's going to be right at them. And I've never seen energy like it on the field. When he's at it, he's just everywhere. It's unbelievable to watch. I think he's been massive in terms of our energy and getting the crowd up. He's dead emotional, isn't he, as well?
Absolutely. We spoke before, John, about players of the season and how good Phil Foden's been, how good Rodri's been, but we've got one of our own in Virgil. Like, it does feel like Virgil van Dijk's on the he's on the warpath to try and get these. He's got one and he wants more trophies to lift as Liverpool captain. Van Dijk v Haaland might be the best in the world, be the best in the world at this moment in time. That's another huge battle there. And again, if Virgil can do a job on him, and that's really tough, Haaland's incredible, but if he can keep him quiet, I mean, that's massive. If Virgil's at his best, that because he might need to, because Haaland is just brilliant.
No, I think you've got to, and this isn't just Haaland.
No, of course.
The movement they have up front, you know, you've got to have someone, you know, on top of his game. And Van Dijk this season has been just awesome, you know. And it's not just that he's been a great defender. He's been grabbing games by the scruff of the neck and saying, come on, we're going to win this. Those headed goals of his, you know, were basically him saying, I'm not having this. This is going in the net, you know. And that's the kind of attitude you need. And we'll need it in spades on Sunday, you know, absolutely.
Maybach, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com.
That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/comedy ad free. That's Amazon.com/comedy ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Interesting. Pep's actually having a press conference now. He refused to be drawn on Alexander Arnold. He just said, "I wish him a speedy recovery," and he gets back as soon as possible. It feels like his players have responded, and Pep's thought, oh, "Hang on a minute." Jürgen's been asked about, it and he said, "Can say what he wants." He said, "Used to stand on the bins watching us train." Yeah, it feels like Pep might be trying to douse that. Yeah. Maybe Pep knows, Sam, what's coming here, trying to douse those flames a little bit. He'd be wise, because he's fell far in the past of getting round up by Anfield, and he's wound Anfield up. Mikel Arteta did the same. It feels like maybe they learned a little bit. Pep, it looks like he's trying to throw a little bit of cold water on this.
Oh yeah, the best thing for him would be a nice, cool 3 o'clock style atmosphere. You know, play a game of football, not worry. But he knows his team's gonna have to overcome waves of atmosphere and of momentum. And so you know, I don't even know why he's allowed them to say what he said. To be honest, he should have just said to them, "Do not respond to Trent Alexander-Arnold's comments at all." Because all you're doing is creating headlines. I know it doesn't happen, but on the dressing room walls type vibes, isn't it? This is what they're saying about you. They're throwing the treble, the cheating gets. Do you know what I mean? Like, they just create an motivation if there wasn't already one there.
Right then, let's time pick a Liverpool 11. The latest injury news, of course, no one else is back who wasn't already back. Ibu Konate, Jürgen Klopp says they're waiting for a scan, they don't know yet. He says Ibu was rather positive last night and he thought that he made the right decision in the right moment. That doesn't mean a lot, unfortunately. We don't have the results of the scan yet. Everyone else is fine. So that's the only question mark. So let's time pick an 11. Okay, Sam, Joe Gomez plays this game somewhere.
Do you reckon?
Okay. Do you think Joe Gomez starts this game? Because I do.
I would play Gomez right back, personally.
So would I.
I think it would be some vote of confidence if Conor Bradley played, though. Wouldn't it be like...
Is there a world where
I think if Bradley plays right back, then Gomez plays centre.
Actually, I think Konate will play me.
Well, that's the other option. This is the point here. I think Gomez, John, probably starts somewhere. There's reason to start him everywhere. You could include left back at this, because I don't think Robbo's in.
Plays Evendo if you really, you know, if you really were sold on what Klopp said about him the other week.
I don't really want to. Let's go this way then. Before we, I've gone about it the wrong way. Gomez, if Ibu can't play, Sam, and bear in mind it's Friday and they don't know if he can play yet, is it Quanta or is it Gomez? Last year, Gomez did a really good job at home against City. He actually did a decent enough job of sticking with Erling Haaland.
Yeah.
He hasn't played centre-back for a long time. Quanta played last night and was, the first time, he looked a little bit shaky.
Yeah.
So he looks better on the left to me, Quanta. Yeah.
If Ibu's out, what are you doing at centre-back?
Ooh, it's a tricky one, isn't it? I think Quanta's been the most senior centre-back this year, but the form Gomez has been in, the experience, it might be more wise to put him in. Like I said, I think it's a game where Ibu just shakes it off. As an injection, the scan results hopefully come back okay. Ices him up.
Magic sponge.
Good warm up. Yeah, players do it all the time. Go off and then play the next game. And Fernandez is doing it every week for Man United. So, you know, why can't Ibu do it?
If he can't,
I think the Gomez Bradley axis is probably the most sensible, just because I think if you go Quanta and then you've got a right back who's not first choice in as well, you're kind of looking.
I wouldn't be unhappy if we had to do that. Obviously, I'd rather Ibu is playing, but if he's not, then Gomez is a great
centre back.
Pace
of Gomez.
And Bradley going forward, you know, against City, I think that might be quite an attractive proposition
for me. Yeah.
It's tough, isn't it?
I'd probably actually leave Quanta out. I'm thinking about it, I just think it's just a step too far and it's a big risk. If he has a bad first 5 minutes, if he gets skinned or bullied by Haaland, it could affect him for the rest of the game with him being so inexperienced. I think this time next year, different question.
The only other option, of course, there, John, other thing to mention is that Conor Bradley hasn't really played 90 minutes too often. He's always been brought on or taken off.
Yeah.
If you do start Quanta and Bradley and then have Gomez on the bench, but then you are saying... Yeah,
bringing Quanta on, you know, later on in the game and putting Gomez on to right back and take Bradley off.
Midfield then? Yeah. I think we haven't really. I would go Gomez. If Ibu can't play, I'm going Gomez Bradley.
Yeah,
if Ibu can play, I go Ibu Gomez. Would you? with everyone.
Yeah, that's my pick as well. Yeah,
absolutely. Let's go into midfield. And we all said before Endo.
Yeah,
McAllister's playing.
Yeah, McAllister's Szoboszlai for me.
Or Elliot.
No, I think Szoboszlai. I think the fact that Elliot played was at the full game the other day. Got three assists.
He's played the full game for.
I think his best attribute. No, he's been a fantastic player for the club this year. I find it bizarre how he still gets a bit of stick, but I think what we've seen the biggest impact for him has been off the bench, and this is the perfect opportunity. Szobo's played 15 or 20 with injury time, and then he's played, what was it, 50 or 45 including injury time again the other day. So I think he's ready to start the game, add another 10-15 minutes to that, and then you can bring on Elliot for Szoboszlai, and you kind of got that number 8 position boxed off for the 90 then with some good quality throughout. I think that makes sense for
me. I think just the quality that Szoboszlai brings
goals
to play against,
and maybe a bit more physicality,
yeah,
pace as well, you know. I would just think that swings it for me.
I think I would agree. I think it's harsh.
I just love the idea of him smacking one in from 35
one
yards.
One of them rockets,
Chamberlain-esque.
You know, a bit like what's her name did. Can't remember his name.
Chamberlain.
No, the ex-Arsenal player who played for us, what was his
name? Oxlade-Chamberlain.
Doing a couple of those, Annie.
I mean, that in that 4-1, was it?
He's done it twice, done in the 3-0 as well.
Yeah, brilliant.
Really whacked it really hard, yeah.
I suppose Elliot's a good sub, like Michael said. He's been good off the bench, perfect sub, I agree.
For this game, yeah, specifically, I just think.
Okay, so Salah plays, Nunes plays, Diaz plays.
I think that's our best front three as well. I know Jota's brilliant, but I do think in certain games having three lightning quick forwards is just a different proposition.
And I think that level of pace is going to be really crucial, isn't it?
If that is the case, then that team, I'm just thinking Liverpool's bench, Sam, we all think Robbo. I know Robbo's had a bit up and down, but he'll play so you've got a bench of maybe Tim McCarson and Quanta, Elliot and Gakpo,
hopefully Bradley.
Maybe Conor Bradley. So Liverpool have got a decent some options.
That's five good subs to bring on.
To freshen things up if you need to, and then a couple of the young lads as well. It feels a bit sustainable, doesn't it?
Well, even in this game, if you have to use four subs, it's fine. You know what I mean? Even if you just have to throw Simicastro, Robbo, and the other two forwards.
Gakpo, I don't think he's had the greatest of times recently, but coming off the bench, that's quite an addition
with energy. He's got himself into loads of really good positions, but he's just not had that clinical edge. He could have scored another four goals last couple of weeks, but if he's got there, been one-on-one and done something daft.
If that's the case, that team, you could say you're only one player off Liverpool, maybe.
Yeah.
Outfield players, of course, the goalkeeper's different, but like
Trent
might be the only one, because there's a way.
Curtis Jones, maybe.
And Jota, maybe, but you're not. It's not as.
He's splitting airs there, aren't
he? He's splitting airs, a lot of them. It's a good, strong team. Free Django says for me, Gomez should start over Robbo.
Nah,
I don't think Robbo's been in great form. I don't think he had a particularly great game yesterday, but I don't think you see that one, John. I don't know, Gomez at left back.
Gomez and Diaz actually works for me. You know, that's why I think that if you can get that functioning properly, even if it's only for like 50-60 minutes, I think that could be really important against Walker there, because you've got to keep him quiet.
What do you think? Do you think Robbo will play?
I mean, it's interesting. He only did 45 each, the other two, though. But I think for balance, and these are the kind of games where Robbo wakes up in the morning and goes, I'm having it today. I mean, some of his greatest memories have been big challenges against big sides and the famous City press. I think if he's got one more of them in him, I think Sunday's the day.
Absolutely, fingers crossed. Right then, time to. What do you think's going to happen?
I always back the Reds before the game.
Yep.
I think it's one of the only few fixtures in the season where anything can change on a single moment or decision, unfortunately. But our backers, I think the crowd's going to be huge. I think we win 4-2. And I think we'll be in control of the game for most of it, but they might have a little push at the end.
Some game, though.
Well, yeah, I'm going to that. Great. 3-1, I think.
I think 2-1.
Yeah.
But the only thing that would shock me is City battering us.
Yeah.
I don't know. At Anfield in particular, I don't know. I might be proven completely wrong because they're brilliant. Mm. But I think, it's going to be a fantastic game and whatever the result. Right then, let's have a little look elsewhere then, Sam, very, very quickly. Yes. We spoke about it before. The only big game in this title race, looking at the other fixtures, is Arsenal going to Brentford at 5:30. That's home to Brentford 5:30 Saturday. There's a chance Arsenal are top, but Brentford are one of those teams that on their day they can cause a couple of issues, and Arsenal can't afford. They've been brilliant, they've been scoring goals for fun, but it isn't the easiest of home games half hard. They should win, but it's not a given.
Yeah, Brentford play an interesting way as well. They're very good at set pieces, which kind of counteracts Arsenal, which is something that they've been really good
Arsenal
at this year.
Arsenal,
yeah, they've got that nailed this year, but I think Brentford have been at it for longer than Arsenal have. I think Ivan Toney is a game changer, and I think the way they play Brentford is a bit of a game changer. I think if you get ahead against them and you get beyond them, I think you can win, like the way we did, the way City eventually did. But if you allow them in the game, a bit like they did at the Etihad, where they can push you and they can, you know, they can really get out. They defend well, they know what they're doing.
They're on fire at the moment, Arsenal, from what I've seen. Since they beat us, the speed of the football is phenomenal. And as we all know, they've been throwing bag fulls of goals. But, you know, Tony's in the shop window for them, isn't he?
That's
isn't he rumoured to be going there?
What I would say about Arsenal is, I think they're a brilliant team, but what I haven't seen from them this season yet is I haven't seen them win when they don't play bad. I'm sorry, they don't play well. So when they're not at it, even against Luton, they dominated the game, but they just a couple of sloppy goals. But I think if you look at the games they've dropped points in, they haven't played very well. I think Villa's the only one they probably have. They didn't really play that well against Liverpool. We should have won the game. Trent, handball, there's a few things. The, you know, Spurs at home, they scrambled a draw. They probably should have lost that game. The other games where they dropped points, West Ham at home, where they got battered. When they don't play that well, they don't seem to have that person who just nicks a goal and wins the game for them. I think when they're flying, they're flying. But
they've been scoring a lot of early goals as well. And I think if maybe Brentford can keep them quiet for a while, it might make a difference.
It's massive for Brentford. Like I say, they're right back in that relegation.
But do you know what? I expect Arsenal to win. I expect it to put it on us for Sunday or City. I think where their season gets more difficult is when this run of games is gone. And if they're not in the top two by after this run of games, I think they're in trouble. I think they need to be top by Sunday, because I think when they start hitting Spurs, Villa, United, City, I think that's a challenge for them. And Champions League,
they're off for a long time actually in the leagues. They play tomorrow and then they play on Tuesday and then they're off then because
it doesn't help with international
break, and then obviously the Chelsea Cup game is off, so they don't play then till City at the end of March. So it's a big one for them, but we saw it all pans out. I expect them to win though. Would you agree? So it looks like Liverpool will be going into the game in second place if our predictions are right, and then we'll see how we're going. Free Django says, who's doing the watch along on Sunday? I can confirm it's me and Errol on the watch along, so come and join us. We'd be live from, let me work out my times, it's a 4:15 kickoff, which means we'll be live at 2:30 for the uncensored match build that will react to Liverpool's and Manchester City's team, and then we'll be live on the watch along from 3:30. So do come over on the YouTube and join us as well.
Just want to add, there's another really big game this weekend. There's Villa Spurs
is a big
one, cracker. Both really good teams
in terms of top four. You're absolutely right. It's a good one. It's a good weekend of football for everyone to watch. If you want even more content in and around the Manchester City game, we've got loads of stuff coming up as well on the YouTube channel. We've got an interview coming out with former Manchester City goalie Shay Given, looking ahead to the game, as well as talking about his compatriot Kevin Kelleher. That'll be out on the YouTube channel this evening. We've got a opposition preview with Boovie, Lawrence Boovie. Yes, that is available on redmenplus.com as well. If you want to go over to redmenplus.com, use the promo code Nunes when you sign up as a monthly captain, and you'll get your first month for 99p. Absolute bargain. So if you want loads more City content, both pre and hopefully celebrating post game as well, Red Men Plus is the place to go. Thank you all so much for watching or listening to this episode of the Match Preview. Fingers crossed it all goes well at the weekend. We'll see you all there. See you soon.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.